Chapter 5, E for Exalt. There are several Hebrew words that are translated exalt or exalted in our English Bibles. Collectively, they mean to lift up, hold up, raise, set on high, promote, esteem highly, and to prize. They can also refer to loftiness, haughtiness, arrogance, and pride. Interestingly, the Hebrew word most often translated exalted in the King James Version is even more frequently translated lifted up 63 times. So exalting someone or something is all about lifting them higher and putting them in the most prominent position in our lives, giving them all praise, glory, and honor. Putting God first. As you might expect, the book which refers the most to the act of exalting God is the Book of Psalms. Here, the psalmist proclaims with joy and passion, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." Psalms 21, verse 13. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Psalms 113, verse 4. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Psalms 57, verse 5. The psalmist places a particular emphasis on exalting God's name and his word, both of which reveal his purpose to us. "For you have exalted above all things your name and your word." Psalms 138, verse 2. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth." Psalms 148, verse 13. As Bible students, we know that God's name is closely bound up with his plan and purpose. His word is the record we have of this plan, and we know that everything God speaks is true and right. Exalting his name and his word involves putting God's plan first, trusting that he knows the end from the beginning, accepting that our own plans are flawed and short-sighted, but that his purpose is eternal. If we are truly to exalt God above the heavens, if God truly takes the highest place in our lives, there can be no room for other people or activities to take priority. We must constantly be aware of his exalted position, always humbled by his greatness and his love, demonstrating to those around us what it is like to live life knowing that God is in control and that we are his servants. Every time we allow other things to take over our time and energy, we not only demote God and fail to exalt his name, but we also exchange a God-centered way of life for one which is hedonistic and self-centered. We fall into the trap of exalting ourselves more than God, foolishly putting ourselves first. It is so easy to do. The world encourages it. But we must not allow ourselves to put these vain idols first, for it is God whom we must exalt. The example of David. We see in the life of King David a perfect example of this kind of humility, of someone who truly exalted God above anything else in his life. At the end of his successful reign, he proclaimed before all the people, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. He could have boasted before the people that all things were under his dominion and that every victory had been down to his perfect leadership. However, he chose to exalt God, not himself. He was not puffed up, the same Hebrew word as exalted. But he ascribed all the greatness and power, glory, victory, and majesty to God. In verse 14, he acknowledged, "All things come from you, and of your own have we given you." David knew that the kingdom and all that was in it wasn't his own to rule over. It was given to him by God. We may not be rulers of a great nation, but we are, in a way, rulers of our own lives. We have the free will to do whatever we please, to reject God, to take selfish pride in our achievements, to seek fame and fortune and attribute all this success to ourselves. But what a self-centered attitude this would be. Sadly, it is one that we are increasingly encouraged to cultivate, and one which we are all guilty of possessing from time to time. Such an attitude raises us up in our estimation. We become proud and self-absorbed, focusing inwards and not upwards. Hosea tells us the end result of this kind of self-satisfied attitude. According to their pasture, so they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Hosea 13, verse 6, King James Version. We need to take steps in our lives to ensure it can never be said of us that we have become so proud we have completely forgotten God. The antidote. What measures can we take, then, to remove such pride from our lives? Moses gave the nation of Israel clear guidelines in order that they might not forget God in the face of victory, security, and abundance. He instructed the people to keep God's commandments. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses, and your silver and gold is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 to 14 and verse 17. We are to keep God's commandments, looking to Him for guidance. We must remember that our talents, success, health, and wealth come from God, to use in His service and to His glory, never our own. We are not kings and queens of our own lives. No matter what the world tells us, God reigns supreme in our lives, and in all good things come from Him. We must never become so conceited that we seek our own glory. God will exalt us. We know that we must never seek to exalt ourselves, but what then of the passages where we read that God exalts His people? There are, for example, in the Old Testament, a handful of slightly obscure verses which talk about a person's horn being exalted. According to Smith's Bible Dictionary, the horn was a symbol of strength, honor, and victory. As a barren woman, Hannah had experienced shame and ridicule, but when God granted her a child, she declared, "My horn is exalted in the Lord." 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. She rejoiced because God had answered her prayer and restored her dignity and honor. Yet, even when God lifted her up in this way, she did not become proud, but rather acknowledged that she was exalted in the Lord. Without Him, she knew she had nothing. A similar passage is found in Psalms 89, where we read, "Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted." Verses 15 to 17. Like Hannah, the people who chose to exalt God's name and to walk in the light of His face were exalted in His righteousness and by His favor. God exalts those whom He knows will give Him the glory and not seek it for themselves. The important point to take away here is that God chooses who to exalt and does so in order that He might ultimately be glorified and exalted, not man. If we are proud, we are not in a position to exalt God. He is all but forgotten, and so He will not see fit to exalt us, choosing rather to humble us so that we might learn to put Him first. But if we are humbled and acknowledge that God is our strength, He will exalt us and work great things through us. See Matthew 23, verse 12. In practical terms, this means that those who put themselves first, boasting in their wealth and success, will not be exalted by God, either in this life or in the kingdom. They have acclaimed of men and women here and now. They have received their reward. Matthew 6, verse 2. Solomon certainly understood that this was vanity and striving after wind, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. And surely we can see this too. For the believer who becomes arrogant and fails to put God first, Job has a stark warning. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Job 1, verse 21. Parents will sometimes choose to discipline an ungrateful, selfish child by taking away privileges or possessions in order to make them appreciate what they have and learn to be grateful. In asking our Heavenly Father to make us more like Him,
we must accept that he may choose to discipline us in a similar way, in order to remove pride and arrogance from our hearts and make us better disciples. On the other hand, those who have learnt, perhaps the hard way, to put God first, forsaking all that holds them back from doing so, will receive an hundredfold now and this time, and in the age to come, eternal life. Mark 10, verse 30. This is not to say that life will be easy, but God promises that if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, rather than our goals and our own glory, he will provide all that we need and by his mercy grant us a place in his kingdom. Exalted in all the earth. The remaining passages in the Old Testament in which God exalts one of his people refer to exalting, or lifting up, kings and leaders. These include Joshua 4 verse 14, David 2 Samuel 22 verse 49, Jeroboam 1 Kings 14 verse 7, Hezekiah 2 Chronicles 32 verse 23, and of course Jesus, Isaiah 52 verse 13. We know from Daniel 4 verse 17 that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowest of men. These men were chosen from the people, Psalms 89 verse 19, and God promoted them to positions of authority in order that his purpose with the earth might be fulfilled. These kings may have been given authority for a little while in order that a small part of God's plan could be set in motion. But we look forward to a time when man's pride will be brought low and God will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, declares Isaiah 2 verse 11. You will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Chapter 12, verse 4. We may all determine to exalt God to the highest place in our lives now, so that we might rejoice on that great and glorious day when God will exalt those whom he has chosen and grant them eternal life in his kingdom. Questions and suggestions. 1. Has anything in your life become more important to you than God? Could this be your family, career, a hobby, or specific goal? It may also include obsessions, money, body image, finding the right partner, and addictions. 2. How might you redress this balance, focusing more time on God's word, devoting more time to prayer, reducing the amount of time spent doing a certain hobby, seeking counseling for addictions to reduce their impact in your life and help you gain control? 3. Are you prepared to allow God to work in your life, removing those things which stand between the two of you? Pray for strength to accept his discipline and wise judgment, and be prepared to let go and let God. He knows what he is doing.